It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
I am here, child.
One heart at a time.
You are not alone.
One heart at a
Come
time.
And let me love
One
you, child. One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. And today on The Inner Life, spiritual tools. What do you use to help you the most to grow in your faith? It's all about growing closer to God and the people in your life. And here to help us sort all of that out, our spiritual director today, back with us once again, Father Sam Martin. Father Martin, a priest in the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin, pastor of St. John the Baptist Parish in Marshfield and Christ the King Parish in Spencer. Father Sam Martin, great to have you back. How are you doing?
I'm well. It's great to be with you. A nice summer day in the Midwest and talking about some things that will help us, please God, get to heaven someday.
Please, God, help us get to heaven someday is absolutely right. Spiritual tools, that's what we're going to talk about today. And as you think about your journey of faith, that spiritual tool in your faith life that helps you the most. We'll talk about that today. But Father Sam Martin, get us started. The spiritual tools, what do we mean by that?
I was thinking when I used to teach at the Institute for Priestly Formation that the one professor would talk about for these future priests, you know, that in your toolbox, the more that you put in there, the more situations that you can kind of handle. I was just thinking of some illustrations that somebody passed along a book about people who struggle with scruples. They have a very sensitive conscience and how to help them as a confessor, as a priest. And so that's like putting something in your toolbox, something that helps us to grow personally, but maybe also to be more available to others. And where is the Lord leading us? We're not all going to have the same tools, but there'd be some basic ones, that fundamental things that we need, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, the things that the church has always prescribed that go back to, you know, just an imitation of Christ, that to live his life, you'll have to do these things. But maybe there's some other areas that we don't all have the same gifts and limitations, so some are going to have a real bright mind, and so to understand the scripture, to really to be able to teach and to share the things, the insights that they're able to receive. And then some have a more contemplative bent. They're going to really have that precious gift of silence and be able to teach others, to encourage others just by their disposition. And so like St. Paul, you know, he uses the image of, one body, many parts, and they're all important. And so what is our part? St. Therese, the little flower, she discovered that, you know, at the heart of the church, that she would be love. And that was her vocation then. And she wanted to do all these things. She had a very active spirit. She wanted to be a missionary and felt a desire to be a priest, even though she understood that that wasn't going to be possible. And so, but in the end, her discernment led her to, these are the tools that God has given me. And whatever we discover, of course, these things are not so much for us as they are for others. We're with God's help to cultivate them and to then use them generously. Otherwise, they tend to atrophy if we use them to serve ourselves. And you see that in the Acts of the Apostles, where sometimes people just didn't understand this new Christian life. And, boy, teach me how to do that. Then I'd have some power. You know, how do you heal? How do you? And then you could see where these things would be manipulated. So anyway, that's a mouthful, of course, but about the tools that God gives us are for our own sanctification, to grow in holiness, and part of that is giving them away, using them to help others, and the world is a better place when we do that.
Hmm. Father Sam Martin, our spiritual director, talking today about spiritual tools. And let's open up our phone line as you think about your journey of faith, that tool in your spiritual life. Maybe you have a favorite. What is it? We'd love to hear about it. How does it help you? And then how does it also, as Father Martin's talking about, how does it help you help others? Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And just a reminder that our Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. More information about their employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans, all available through our website, relevantradio.com/Forester. Don't forget you can email us as well, innerlife@relevantradio.com. So, Father, when we talk about spiritual tools, I have this image of a toolbox that that when we need help or we want to fix something, that we kind of go to the toolbox and pull it out. And talk about that a little bit, if you would. But I also like the fact that in our toolbox, we have these tools to help others, too. But for us, I guess maybe as you're talking here, I want a really great big toolbox.
Certainly, I you know, we all, to some degree or another, we want to be all things to all people so that we might be able to help them. And of course, like St. Therese, she also discovered that whatever the size of our soul, if it's a thimble or a large, a mug, just to be full of God's grace, to be full of His love. That's what the Lord wants, and so we don't have to worry about being little or I don't have all those gifts. I remember a priest very wisely pointed out, that he was more worried about the really talented priests, the guys that, man, they just great speakers, they very creative, they could, make some mental images that just good teachers. They had the whole package, and those are the guys that maybe if it was coming easily for them, they might forget to pray. And those are the ones that sometimes the devil might, really attack. And we can think of illustrations of people that really were immensely gifted, but the devil is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So if we feel bad about, well, I don't have as many gifts or my toolbox is kind of small, blessed are the weak. That's how God shows His strength, and we're safer that way and not to have all those gifts. And if we do have tremendous gifts, well, I think it was the Spider-Man insight, that the person given great power is also, there's great responsibility that comes with that. And we're not to squander it or to serve ourselves, which is a temptation for us. So whatever, just by baptism, just by that being configured to Christ in our soul, we all have some basic tools. As a kid growing up on a farm, you need a hammer, maybe a vice grip or some kind of a pliers, some sort of a screwdriver. And duct tape. I mean, MacGyver knows spiritually, if you don't have that, you're going to be in big trouble. Duct tape, of course, for us, I suppose, analogously, would be grace, sacramental grace. Nobody becomes a saint without it. And we forget that because grace is God's divine assistance. Nobody ever became holy because they just worked really hard and mind over matter. I just look at what I've made of my life. No, we are all assisted and saved by God's grace. And in Mary's case, they call it a prevenient grace. It was given even, before she was born, while she was conceived, so that she could say yes in a way that, is such a gift to all of us. So, but in terms of, we like to have a lot of tools. And to some degree, we have some say in that. We can work at that. And the Lord invites us, to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Come and see, what gifts you have and avail those for the will of God. And once again, we're better for it.
Father Sam Martin, our spiritual director, talking today about spiritual tools. And maybe you have a favorite. We'd love to hear what that is. But toll free if you'd like to join us on the program, 888-914-9149. And our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And the email, quick email from Bob listening, talking about the number one spiritual tool in my pocket at all times, he says, is my rosary. And then he says, just a little self-promotion here, second is the Relevant Radio app. And thank you, Bob. We appreciate that. A lot of people listen to this app, but it's just we talk about that toolbox and where do we go first? I carry a rosary with me all the time, and when things maybe get a little difficult or I'm just And just having that rosary in my pocket, there's just a sense of confidence, or I don't even know what the word might be, but boy, to have it there, it's a spiritual tool, which is powerful, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, sacramentals are a tangible reminder of who we are, that we are God's children now. What we're later to become hasn't been revealed, but we are right now. We're wanted unconditionally by a supreme being who created us out of nothing, and he sent his son to pay a price so that we could share eternity with him. And Mary believed this. She had a great faith, and so to have that rosary, I have carried one in my pocket for, as many years as I can remember now. At some point, you know, my parents must have taught me that, you know, you need a rosary. They even used to have these cards. You know, used to say something to the effect that, if I should die, please call a priest. I'm a Roman Catholic. And if you have a rosary in your pocket, well, that's universally understood. It's like making the sign of the cross. We know that is a Catholic. That is a very distinct symbol of our faith, and something that it reminds us that we're going to suffer. Someday we're going to die. But after that, God has promised something glorious that we have no right to. In a way, we forfeited, and we've participated in our own struggles. But God loved us so much that he said, I won't let you spend eternity away from me, not unless you really insist, but I'll do everything I can. So, yeah, some people will wear the scapular. There are many ways of being close to Mary, and she's the one at the foot of the cross. And we're afraid of the cross. We are embittered by it. We are discouraged by it. It's a foolishness and a stumbling block and all of those things. But Mary is the one that through the centuries stands at the foot of the cross. And she has a deep faith and a maternal spirit. I mean, when we're scared, we run to our mother. So people wear the scapular. They have a miraculous medal. I knew a kid that got a tattoo of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm not encouraging that, but it's pretty permanent, that's for sure. But different ways, and those are like, you know, real tools, because the rosary, it'd be useless unless you pulled it out and prayed it. That's the whole point, is to guide our meditation, the mysteries of our Lord and his mother and the scriptures, many ways to grow and to allow those tools then to bear some fruit that will last.
Father Sam Martin talking today about spiritual tools, and again, phone lines are open, and that favorite tool of yours, not only that you use maybe in times of difficulty, but those tools in your toolbox, if we can use that image, that you use to help others. Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And Father, when I think about the spiritual tools, I always think of, you know, when things maybe aren't going exactly the way I want them to, or something's not quite right. It's that first tool. If I have to go to the toolbox, what's the first one I'm grabbing? That's the one that is probably most important. For me, it's prayer. And I think for a lot of people, it's just jump into prayer and be with God in those tough moments. But gosh, we talk about the sacraments. We talk about the rosary. I'm finding more confidence just with silence. But there's so many things that the Lord offers us to help us on this journey of faith.
And it is a difficult journey. It's an impossible one, really. And for those of us who have tried and have failed, and sometimes on a regular basis, it can be a very discouraging experience to try to live the life of our Lord. And the world obviously makes it a challenge, maybe more so now than other times. It's hard to compare these things. But I was thinking and praying, and maybe to also say something about spiritual accompaniment, that we help each other, that, you know, what just the witness that we give, coming to church, praying together, we're also praying for each other, and we need each other, because it's like if you were going to climb a mountain and you didn't have anybody to tell you how to train and what you're going to have to, persevere through, and some things that are just, you know, little tricks of the trade that's going to be helpful for you to know if you're going to get to the top of that mountain. And thank God for the communion that we have with the saints. They've made it. They have crossed that finish line, and now they are experiencing this perfect communion with the Trinity. It's something that we're all made for, whether or not we believe it or not. So we want to have their intercessory power, but of course they're always our little saints. And I say that these aren't men and women canonized just yet, but every parish, every community has little saints men and women that are very sincerely and very beautifully in the midst of real weakness and real human limitation, living the faith, and that's such an encouragement. And I just had Mass at a nursing home yesterday, and to see, you know, with what love they come, in spite of many difficulties, to be there. I mean, their love for the Mass is something that is almost transcendent. It is, and we don't always have that when we're younger. We can get to church very easily, and we feel like maybe it's a burden, but when it's not able, you know, not easily a part of our life anymore, when the priest has to come to us, and it's on a Wednesday, not on a Sunday, we're so grateful. So these are the things that remind us that we're going to need extra assistance. We're going to need, I mean, maybe not right now, like, well, I'm fine. You know, spiritually, I'm in a good place. Well, there'll be things coming. There always are. And the Boy Scouts used to tell us that, you know, be prepared. And the more we can do that in our daily prayer and in regular practice of our faith, learning and being inspired and being a part of a community, we're going to be prepared for more. And, of course, the Lord is going to permit more. I used to worry, well, what if you really got holy, you know, Chuck, and wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you be filled with, you know, some pride? And I remember my spiritual director laughed. I'm still kind of stinging from that. But anyway, I think now that I'm older, I know what he was laughing about, that Christianity by its very design humbles human hearts. It's impossible to be close to the Lord without being very humble. And that's a beautiful thing. It's also a very hard thing because we don't like to admit it, but there's pride in us. So probably the biggest tool in my toolbox is the chisel. We're chiseling away at the you know, relentless ego, but with God's help, we're making some progress.
Yeah. Yeah, that sculptor is really working on all of us, isn't he?
Yeah.
Indeed. Father Sam Martin, our spiritual director, talking about spiritual tools today, and maybe you have a favorite. What do you turn to when maybe things aren't going exactly your way? Toll-free if you'd like to. Join us on the program, 888-914-9149. And you alluded to it a little bit earlier, Father, in terms of we all have these spiritual tools, and they're really kind of based upon, they're all different because we're all different, but we all have them regardless of our vocation, but sometimes they are specific to our vocation.
Yeah, the state in life is going to be important. You know, St. Francis de Sales maybe wrote one of the best books ever for the spirituality of a lay person, a person living in the world, the Introduction to the Devout Life. And he is very clear about, you know, that if you're not a monk, you know, you're a father, you're a mother, you're a teacher, you're a farmer. Well, then your prayer life is going to look different from someone who has made certain vows and has made promises to pray, and in the case of monastic life, you know, certain times of the day. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, and that's a discovery. But the saints, no matter what their state in life may have been, they certainly inspire us. I've been reading a book again about St. Francis Xavier, and quite a bit in there about St. Ignatius of Loyola, whose feast we just had on Tuesday. And just to see the deep faith that these first Jesuits that they had, and that's such an appealing reality to us when we see faith that can move mountains, faith that pushes fear to the periphery, faith that just is able to be so courageous and generous, and the kind of spirit that is infectious. I mean, the building is on fire, and you're going into it. Why? Because there are souls at risk, and this is what our Lord did for us at Calvary, and he has invited us to follow him. And of course, you know, when they think that he's going to die, they say, well, we'll go and die with him. They're going to go to get Lazarus and pull him out of the tomb. They don't realize that they've actually just, you know, said something prophetic. But the Lord does. He is preparing them for something that is not of this world, but it saves this world. And so we, with God's help, we want to have that spirit too, and it's not, we all are to have faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, St. Paul writes. Those things are necessary to be holy, but how they're lived out is going to be as unique. What did Pope Benedict say that he was asked by a fairly skeptical journalist, well, how many paths are there to heaven? And the person asking the question was pretty sure he was going to say, one, if you're not on it, you're lost. But the Pope, already very deep in his own spiritual life, said there are as many paths to God as there are souls. In the end, there's only one way to the Father, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. But each of us has to follow the path that is traced. And sometimes we're comparing ourselves to that person's path. Or I wish I, yes, St. Augustine said that you know yourself, accept yourself, and then with God's grace we can improve ourselves. But sometimes we know ourselves, and then we're going to improve ourselves, and then maybe, maybe we'll accept ourselves. And that's not the way God loves us. He accepts us even in our poverty, especially in our brokenness, but he doesn't leave us there. And he's going to give us some tools, so to speak, so we don't have to, you know, he says, Lazarus, come out and untie him, unbind him. Now, I guess Lazarus could have stayed in there, I suppose, but he did what anybody should do, come on out. And now a new lease on life. And for us, that happens many times in our spiritual life.